I'd like to extend a warm welcome to everyone. It's lovely to have everyone here and to have some that have been away. Sarah, it's lovely to have you, and Matt and everyone else that's come. Good to have you guys back with us. Just welcome, yeah. With the Lord's table this morning, we've decided to open it up again. I'll talk to Michael and Jeff about this, and we've decided to have the bread and the cups. Just for your information, it's all been done as hygienically as we can do, and we've spaced everything out so you don't have to touch other people's things. If you don't feel comfortable with that, we've got the little pre-made ones there in the basket. Feel welcome to come and use those. In thinking about what I would share with you this morning, I was thinking about the different Marys in the New Testament, and I don't know about you, but I quite often get confused with the different ones. So I looked them up and I thought it was quite interesting. So I'm just going to read a little bit to you from gotquestions.com. And they say there that there are six Marys in the New Testament. Of course, there's the Mary, the mother of Jesus, very well known. And the scripture reveals in Matthew 1:25 how that Mary was a humble and a godly and a blessed woman. And Mary was also present throughout Jesus' life and at his crucifixion. And after Jesus' death, she was cared for by the Apostle John in John 19. Secondly, is Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was a follower of Christ. And Luke 8:2 tells us Jesus cast out seven demons from her. And no doubt, this deliverance increased her dedication to the love and love for the Lord. And when Jesus rose from the dead, Mary Magdalene brought the news of the empty tomb to Peter and John. And she has a distinction of being the first person to see the risen Lord in John 20. The third Mary in the Bible, Mary of Bethany, this Mary was a sister of Lazarus and Martha. Jesus and the disciples were frequent visitors in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Mary of Bethany was the one sitting at Jesus' feet listening to his words while Martha set up for dinner in Luke 10. Fourth Mary is Mary the mother of James, and she's spoken of in Luke 6, Mark 15 and a number of other passages. This Mary appears again in Mark 16 and Matthew 28, where she's called the other Mary. In connection with the tomb, as she was one of the women who brought spices for Jesus' body and met an angel instead. There's a fifth Mary, which is the mother of John Mark in Acts 12, and a sixth Mary spoken of part of the church at Rome in Romans 16. Our focus this morning in around the Lord's table is going to be to do with two of the Marys, obviously the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and also Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. In our Bible reading this morning, maybe we'll put that up. Thanks, Bob. Matthew 26 and verse 6 to 13. Matthew 26 and verse 6 to 13. Different accounts of this in the Gospels, the different Gospels put it in a different way. But we'll read this one to start off with. Matthew 26, verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. And this was Mary, which is told in one of the other Gospels, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me." When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." This, I thought that was a very interesting comment of the Lord. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in her of memory of her. And in reading this, Matthew Henry says, regarding that verse, the memorial of this woman was to be preserved not by dedicating a church to her, or keeping an annual feast in honour of her, or preserving a piece of broken box for a sacred relic, but by mentioning her faith and piety in the preaching of the gospel for an example to us and to others. Hebrews 6:12 tells us that we are to be imitators of godly people who have gone on before us. In talking about this Mary of Bethany, GodQuestions.org says, "Mary of Bethany is one of the most beautiful characters in all of Scripture, and we can learn valuable lessons from studying her life. Mary was a sister of Martha, and her brother was Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. We see Mary three different times in the Bible, beginning with the incident in the home of her sister Martha in Luke 10, where Jesus and presumably the disciples who travelled with him were being entertained in their house. Martha was so distressed and distracted with much serving and frustrated that her sister wasn't helping that she actually rebuked Jesus, accusing him of not caring that Mary sat at his feet while she did all the work. Jesus' response gives us our first insight into Mary of Bethany. Jesus commended her for choosing the better, meaning that Mary's desire to be near her Lord and to hang on to every word was far more beneficial than running herself ragged with preparations of the meal. Jesus further said that choosing the better thing, learning of the Lord, would not be taken away from Mary. By choosing the better, Jesus meant that those whose priority in life is Christ, the knowledge of him and the nearness to him, have chosen what will last through eternity, such as gold, silver and costly stones referred to in 1 Corinthians 3. From this incident, we learn that those who are distracted with the mundane and earthly, are building upon the foundation which is Christ with wood, hay and stubble, materials that will not stand the fires that come to us in times of testing, nor will they be remembered in eternity. Martha's rebuke of Jesus gives us insight into her heart and mind as she tried to make everything perfect and was so distracted that she lost sight of whom she was speaking to. Mary's silence, which will be seen again in another incident, indicates a lack of concern for herself, especially for defending herself. When we focus on Christ, he becomes our greatest passion, and our tendency to self-absorption dims and fades. The second incident in which Mary and Martha appear occurs in John 11, with the rising of her brother Lazarus from the dead. When Mary hears that Jesus has come and is calling for her, she immediately leaves the assembly of mourners in her home and rushes to meet Jesus. So great is her love for him and her desire to please and obey him that she leaves those who had come to comfort her to her place, and she goes to Jesus. Jesus sees her great sorrow and weeps along with her, even though he knows her sadness is going to be short-lived and that her brother will be restored to her momentarily. In the same way, when we sorrow and grieve, our greatest comfort is found in Jesus, whose compassion is boundless. When we place our hand in the nail-scarred hand, we find comfort, peace and security. And we learn the truth of Psalm 30, verse 5, which says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." The third and final time we see Mary of Bethany is just days before Christ's crucifixion in John 12. A meal had been prepared. Martha was again serving while the resurrected Lazarus reclined at the table with Jesus and the disciples. At some point, Mary poured a pint of very expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. In spite of criticism from Judas Iscariot about the waste of the costly substance, remembering that Judas was the one that took care of the purse and was prone to take money from the purse for himself, Mary said nothing. Rather, Mary allowed Jesus to defend her, which he does, saying that she has kept this perfume for his burial and has done a beautiful act of service to him. Bear in mind that the women went to the tomb after on the Sunday, to perfume the body and embalm the body, but Christ was already risen, and so no one else perfumed or embalmed the body of Christ except for Mary doing it prior. When we see two amazing things about Mary here from which we can take our example. First, she seems to know that the time of Jesus' death on the cross was at hand, a fact that had escaped the disciples in spite of Jesus' clear declaration of the truth. No doubt Mary contented herself with listening to her Lord and meditating on his words, while the disciples bickered about who would be the greatest amongst them in the kingdom. By doing so, they missed the important truths Jesus was teaching them about his upcoming death and resurrection in Mark 9. How often do we miss the spiritual truths because we are self-focused and overlay concerns for our own rewards, our own status, and our own reputation among men? Secondly, we see in Mary a settled conviction and confidence in her Lord, so much so that she is not compelled to defend herself in the face of criticism. How often do we jump at the chance to justify ourselves in the eyes of others who criticise and mock us, particularly where our faith is concerned? But if we, like Mary, make sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him our priority, we'll have her depth of understanding, her passion for Christ, her complete faith in his plan for our lives. We may not have Jesus sitting in our living rooms in person, but we have his word, the Bible, and from it we have all the knowledge and understanding we need to live a life of secure and confident faith like Mary of Bethany. In leading into our Lord's table, I'd like to Bob to play a video for us, and you probably may have heard it before. I've heard it a few times, but it always is quite compelling to me when I hear it again. And it's the song of Mary, Did You Know? And reflecting on what it would have been like for the mother of Christ in his life, remembering that it was told to her that she would be blessed among all women, and she certainly was blessed, but there were certainly a lot of hard times that she faced, and she must have, in those hard times, must have been thinking, I'm not feeling really that blessed right now. But anyway, we'll play the video and then we'll partake of the emblems. Thanks, Bob. Let me just read to you that familiar passage before we partake of the emblems. The Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, and after supper, and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. So we'll just pass the emblems around. If anyone would like to take one of the little chasseries of, feel welcome to come and get that. Feel welcome to eat the bread, and we'll drink the cup together. Our Father, we are so grateful. We are so humbled at the extent of your love for us, that our Lord and Saviour would leave his glory on high and humble himself and become a man, and even that he would become a servant to man. He who created all things, he who sustains all things. Without him, we can do nothing. And yet he would come and not only be a servant, but that he would die a lowly death, a humiliating death on a cross. And beyond that, that he who knew no sin would take all our sin, that our sin, as it says in your word, was nailed to the cross, so that we can't find our sin because it's already been nailed to the cross. Oh, our Father, we are so humbled, and yet we are so grateful for all that you have done for us. We cannot understand why you just didn't wipe out mankind and start all over again. And yet, through your grace and your mercy and your love, you have endured so much for us, and our Lord has endured so much for us, and we are so thankful. Thank you for this time of remembrance. I pray that you would help us to ponder these things this day and throughout this weekend, and that you would continue to lead us and direct us. Pray that our thoughts might be centered around our Lord and Saviour, and for all that you have done for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.